Hi. Okay, this is Joelle Rises on Slippery Words, and I have the one, the only Jim Butcher with me today.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, and I thank you for doing this. We are at Dragon Con, so there is most likely a lot of noise in the background, but we're going to do the best we can.
Okay.
So I actually was given a manuscript that was titled Kitty's Poppy. So I'm not even sure if what I read was the last version.
No, it was. It was the version immediately before the copy editor got over.
Okay, so what we're talking about, I just realized I didn't say, is The Aeronauts Win Less, the first book in the Cinder Spire series, which I'm really, really excited about. So one of the things that you do so well, and I'm so incredibly jealous of you because you do this so well, is you are great at telling the story through action. You have really mastered that showing the story versus telling the story.
Yes.
And that, can you give me and any writer out there listening hints on how to do that?
It's largely, it's a matter of practice. It's something that you have to do in every part of the story that you're telling. So no matter whether you're telling a story that is about a character or you're dealing with something that's going on with your story plot, you've got to find ways to show who that character is and what the plot means. It's not just enough to be able to say, well, there's a war that's going to happen. You have to be able to show the potential results of that. Really, it's one of those things you just have to practice, and you practice it over and over again. One of the things that I've really found useful as a writer is DMing. D&D and other role-playing games, because you've got other people that are handling all your characters for you, and you very busily have to go through the world. But you also have to show your story in action, and you can't just tell characters, players things. That gets them very involved very quickly, and you get that feedback very rapidly, which you don't get as a writer.
Right.
As a writer, you work, and you might get feedback a week later, or a month later, or a year later. When you're doing it right there with the people right there, that changes everything, as you can tell immediately when you're losing somebody's interest.
Yeah, I'm a newer writer. Well, I'm a writer. I've been a writer my whole life. I wrote my first short story at 7, but I've been doing other things like raising children and earning money.
Yes, those things.
Yeah, so I'm really have only been working very hard on it seriously for the last year. I did my first reading here actually yesterday,
That was fun.
Thank you. I find that's the thing I'm working on the most. Honestly, that's the hardest. So
yes.
All right, I am very dedicated to not giving away any spoilers. But how much fun was it to write engineering reports, evasive action?
Getting to write there's a lot of. There's airships in the book. It's a steampunk book, and so we got to have airships because that's just necessary.
Right, it's absolutely important.
And if you got airships, then you have to have the airships fight because that's also necessary. So that meant I got to whip out the old nautical terms. I'm somebody who's read a bunch of the Hornblower books and the Aubrey and Honor Harrington, and of course I've watched Star Trek endlessly,
right? So, that was definitely it, because you have a Scotty-like engineering character.
Well, engineers are a specific type, and if you're going to have an engineer who didn't quite fit in the military, there's only a few of those guys, because you really need the engineers.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be that irascible that you just didn't fit in the regular military, there's going to be a limited number of personality types that are going to work like that.
I thought it was great. I loved
that. I had a lot of fun.
I could tell you did. It was just so awesome. So you have a main character in this who is a cat.
Yes.
And I love him.
Getting to write the cats was kind of was so much fun.
But are you betraying Mouse? I mean, it's like dogs, cats living together in the same author's head.
Total anarchy. Yeah. No, I had a great time writing those because I've never been a cat owner. My fiance has some cats, and so I'm going to be a cat owner. That seems
it's time to get in the mindset
at this point. But I do know lots of people who have cats, and I know cat owners, even if I don't know cats so well. So I knew the kind of things that they were gonna want to see and want to hear from cats.
He is wonderful.
He was so much fun to write. The character's name is Raoul. He's over the top. He's one of these characters who's just convinced that he can do no wrong, and he's almost right.
Right.
You know, he's very nearly as good as he thinks he is, which is what makes him so annoying, because otherwise you could ignore it.
Well, there's a moment in time, I won't say where or why, where he's, like, sort of perfecting the brood. That was great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
But my favorite growl line, and it won't give anything away, comes very close to the beginning of the book, and that's because I'm a cat owner, as he says, perhaps I would compose a song for her.
Yes.
And I just, as a cat owner, I was like, oh my God, what is that going to sound like?
No, it's going to be awful. You know it's going to be awful. Cats that go singing to courtship, they don't, yeah.
Not good.
That's not a melodious sound.
So this takes place, obviously, in the steampunk universe. You now, in this book, have moved from a single point of view to multiple points of view.
Yes.
How was that changing?
Oh, it's a relief, because you can tell the story so many more ways when you've got multiple viewpoint characters. But at the same time, it's more work, because you've got to stop and say, okay, this is this part of the story that's coming up. Which character is going to be most effective to tell the story for? Because you know, you'll have to balance, well, this character is more emotionally involved in what's going on. This character is the one that actually has all the power in the scene. You know, so how do I convey that to the reader most effectively?
Yeah, I thought that was must have been very challenging, or like you said, a relief. Like
it's a great deal of fun because you have so many more options with which you can use to tell your story. At the same time, it's a great deal more intimidating because you've got so much more rope with which you can hang yourself and do the story and do it wrong.
Right.
I've always enjoyed writing the multiple viewpoint stories as my off stories to whatever Dresden I'm working on at the moment, because by the time I get done with multiple viewpoint stories, I'm just so relieved to be back in the saddle with Dresden, where I don't have to make those sorts of choices, and I've got a whole different slew of problems because everything has to come from one point of view over there. And then by the time I'm done dealing with Dresden's problems, I'm like, oh, thank goodness, I can do something with a little bit more flexibility and a little bit more, I can apply more creativity to this and then switch over to somebody else.
That's awesome. I love that you did it. It had to be a little bit of a Codex Alera flair, like just like you pulled, like that you had so many characters and so many different scenes. Like
yes.
Sort of, you know, you had sort of gone back to that like multiverse world.
Yeah, it was. It's nice getting back to that. Although for these books, I tried to keep. I try to keep more of a Dresden file sense of pace involved in the story.
Yeah.
So the story is much more compressed than the typical Lara story was into much less time. Mm-hmm.
No, you have lots of action too. Your battle scenes are fantastic. I can't say, but they are amazing. You could really picture them. I have a question about Albion. You describe Albion, which is a setting, a place in the book, as black spire. You use the word black. Why is Albion white?
We'll find out more about that later.
Oh, okay. Good question, Joel. Nicely
yes.
done.
It's a good question that I can't answer without being very spoilery.
Okay.
And that's no fun for anybody. So.
No, all right. Okay. That was, I'm like writing all these little notes down, and that was definitely one that surfaced. So.
Right.
Okay.
No. Good call. Nice
good
observation.
Catch. Good catch. All right, here's my big question for you. Are you
okay.
ready?
Sure.
Where do you stand on adverbs? Because we use adverbs, and every single time I'm told something about writing by an expert writer, I'm told, don't use adverbs. But you use adverbs actually fairly liberally.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yeah, I use them liberally. Yes.
Well, okay, I'm going to call you on one, though.
Okay.
Hungrily devouring.
Okay, yeah, well.
I'm pretty sure we can get rid of that.
Probably.
But you do use them.
I do use adverbs because as a writer, I am not a writer who's terribly focused on the words. I am focused on the story.
The words are the tool with which to tell.
Exactly. Ideally, for me, the words should be something that are essentially transparent to the reader. Really, the words are just the only reason that they exist is to get an idea that is inside my head over to inside your head. And that's the entire thing I'm doing with the writing. I don't want you to read one of my stories and go through and say, "Ooh, that sentence was a wonderful sentence." And if that happens, I've somehow failed because you're paying attention to the words of the sentence, which is like paying attention to the plumbing that the water is flowing through and not the water itself.
Okay, so you're saying you don't want the writing to be distracting from
exactly.
The story.
I want the writing to be something that that you don't even really notice. I want there to be a movie playing in your head, mm-hmm. and for the words to basically not really exist for you on a conscious level. And if that happens, then you know, then to a degree I feel. I know there are other writers that feel very differently, but I have my own goals for what I'm doing when I'm telling a story, and that's what I want. Is I want to create that movie in your head. Storytelling is the original virtual reality.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to create, is that illusion.
Well, I really did feel like you did this with this book. And like I said, I think the fight scenes, the aerial fight scenes are tremendous.
Oh, those are so much fun to write. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have so much fun. There's going to be so many forums talking about them. And various people arguing. I've already had engineers get together and start talking theoretical engineering and physics with the books and everything. Have you thought about using this as a weapon? Because this would be amazing. So I'm having a lot of fun with that.
Well, it was great. Okay, so I know you're pressed for time. So I'm going to ask one Dresden question.
Okay.
And I hope it's not one you've gotten before.
Okay.
In the beginning, the very beginning of Skin Game, which I have to sign, in the very beginning of Skin Game, we hear from a somewhat British-sounding, rather annoyed prisoner on Demon Reach. Is he ever coming back?
Yes. Yeah, I'm fundamentally a lazy writer. I don't ever want to put something in the book that I'm not going to use for something at some point. Which is not to say that absolutely every tiny detail will be used, but if I take a moment to introduce a character and have him do things, it's for a reason.
That was what I thought. I couldn't imagine why you would waste, you know what I mean, time in the book.
Not in an opening chapter. But
right, opening chapter, introducing this cool character, and then you don't see him for the rest of the book, and you're like, oh, but he's got it.
Yeah, he's seen for the future.
Okay, fantastic. That's great. Thank you so much for this. I really appreciate it. All right, let me...